social movements have always come about because of individuals who are outside of the establishment pushing for reform. Independents have been part of the grassroots movements that have helped shape the United States. So why do you believe they haven't gelled into a well-established entity into our current political system?
Basically, the fundamental political dynamic has been that movements arise on the outside, on the fringes, if you will, and they propel themselves because of the relevancy of the issue and the size and scope and level of organization of the base. And then the parties come to embrace and incorporate those movements into their frameworks, and those movements become a part of and become represented to varying degrees by political parties. The difference today, and this is very interesting, is that the issue that's on the table today for independents, for this 40%, broadly speaking, is that they don't like parties. They think partisanship has had a corrosive effect on our democracy, on the policymaking process, that the extent to which there's been an overreach by the parties in terms of them functioning, in effect, as if they're arms of the government when they're not mentioned even once in the Constitution. But this general dissatisfaction and unhappiness with political parties and the kind of political culture that they produce in this day and age makes it the case, I think, that it's very difficult for the parties to absorb what is essentially an anti-party movement.
So how can independents effectively change our current political culture in this country without in some way aligning themselves with the Democrats and the Republicans?
Tactically speaking, the independent movement does align with different players on the Democratic side, on the Republican side, and in some cases, when independent candidates or whatever arise, sometimes there's an alignment there. But the fundamental issue is that what's needed here, Catherine, is we have to change the political environment for new kinds of things to happen, for new coalitions to arise and new conversations to take place and new and innovative initiatives in public policy, whether it's in education or healthcare or economic development. But in order to change the environment, you actually literally have to change the rules of the game. So the idea of changing the primary system from a party-based primary system to a public primary system, this is referred to as the top two nonpartisan primary system, which basically abolishes party primaries and institutes public primaries in their stead. And a public primary is basically a first round where all voters, regardless of their affiliation or lack thereof, get to vote, and all candidates, regardless of their party affiliation or lack thereof, compete against one another. And that's the first level or layer of debate. And then the two candidates who gather the most votes from that first round go on to a second round or a general election. And then the winner of the second round becomes the elected official. Changes that alter the rules of the game and that transfer power from the parties to the people more directly, and then set up what is basically a more competitive and open electoral system.
What about independent voters in North Carolina? Are their numbers staying about the same? Are they dropping in numbers, or are they growing?
Independents now make up 26% of the statewide voter registration, like 1.7 million voters. Democrats are 43%, Republicans are 31%. And an interesting feature of these numbers is that since 2008, about 300,000 more people have registered as independent or unaffiliated, which is about a 20% increase. Whereas the total number of registered Democrats has decreased by almost 2%, and the Republicans had an upward bump of 1%. But what you see in North Carolina is what you're seeing in many, many different places around the country, which is that the trend is toward political independence. And we have a political system which is out of step with where the electorate is at.